Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. You can look at verses 7 through 13 there. People have done some pretty amazing and crazy things in the name of love. I mean, a grown man will carry a purse in a crowded mall or in Walmart in the name of love. It's touching. A woman will sit through an action movie in the name of love. A woman will literally walk into the tool department at Lowe's to buy a router for her husband for Christmas, even though she has... I think we know what's on his wish list for Christmas. So, even though she has no idea what a router does or why it would be necessary. That's love. People and songwriters through the years have written all sorts of things about love and what they'd do for love, the mountains they'd climb, the oceans they would swim, and all those sorts of things. In the 70s, there was a group called 10cc that wrote a song, The Things We Do For Love, and talked about walking in the rain and the snow, and some of you are singing in your head right now. It's okay. It's okay. It really is. You're not going to be struck for that or anything like that. All because of the love of his girl. Afraid she was going to break up with him. All those things, all those proclamations that we've made, all those things that men and women have said they would do in the name of love. Moms do some pretty amazing things in the name of love. Child crying in the middle of the night, get up and go and comfort them. Changing nasty diapers. I've literally seen my own wife spend more for something for her children than she'll spend on something for herself. You moms do those kinds of things, and dads do those kinds of things as well, doing things to put their children ahead of their own needs sometimes, all in the name of love. But today we're going to look at a passage in 1 John that teaches us three specific ways that we can show love to others. So I want us to take a look at what John has to say. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love. Your love is indeed amazing and wonderful. And God, we thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, help us to understand a little bit more about your love for us and how we need to love others today. God, help us to not just hear your word today, but to apply it. And Lord, I pray right now that I might decrease, that you might increase. May your truth be spoken here. It's in your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Today I want to look at three ways to show love, and I want to focus on showing love through ministry, showing love through evangelism, and showing love through fellowship. So first of all, we see ministry in love. Ministry in love. Now, I want to be very clear here from the beginning. I am not talking about the vocation of ministry. I'm not talking about what I do or what Jeff does or what Doug does. I'm not talking about that kind of ministry. I'm talking about the ministry that all of us have been called to. Certainly ministry is a vocation, but every one of us as Christians has a ministry. As a matter of fact, if we want to just get biblical about it for a minute, the Word of God actually says that it's my job to equip you to do the work of ministry. It is. It actually says that. The Word of God does. It's my job to equip you. So the reality is all of us have a responsibility to the ministry. It's not something that's left to the pastor. It's not something that's left to the church staff. It's not something that's left to the deacons. It's not something that's just left to the Sunday school teachers. It is for all of us to do. All of us are ministers, where we recognize that or not. It may not be our vocation, but if you're a Christian, it is your calling. God has called all of us to ministry. And I know sometimes we may feel inadequate in ministering to others, but we need to realize that ministry comes in so many different forms and happens in so many different ways. And the reality is, in a church this size, there is no way that I could minister to everybody here. There's no way that me and Doug and that guy over there named Jeff, had a brain cramp there for a second. That's what happens when you turn 50. There's no way that me and Doug and Jeff could actually minister to everybody in this church and be effective in it. We need you. You need one another. The reality is, we're to care for one another, because the truth is, things happen that we aren't aware of. Things happen that we can't be aware of. Things happen that we physically can't be present for. But God has equipped each of us to be able to minister to one another. And the reason that I know we're equipped is because we have the Holy Spirit in us. As Christians, we have Him in us. Therefore, we can minister to others. And even though we may not know exactly what to do, even though we may not know exactly how to do, we can still be present. We can still be there and let God work in us and let God use us. Ministry is an expression of our love for God. It is an expression of our love for one another. In verses 7 and 8, John makes it very clear that we are to love one another because love is from God. And if we demonstrate love, we show that we are from God. A growing or mature believer will want to demonstrate the love of God and is willing to minister to others to demonstrate that love. Now, maybe you're asking, what is ministry? That's a great question, because ministry can happen in so many different ways. Do you realize it can be ministry simply to pick up the phone and call somebody in your Sunday school class or at church that you know you haven't seen in a while? That's ministry. That's caring about them. There is literally no way that I can be sure that I've made eye contact with everybody in the church unless I just specifically do something like I'm doing right now. There are times when people have been at church where I can't remember for sure if they were there. Sometimes somebody will sit behind somebody else. You know, I don't know if they're trying to hide from me or what exactly, but I might not see them when I'm looking out. So I don't always know or always remember who was here. Now, for those of you who sit in the same place week after week, I remember you a little more. See, but some of you are tricky. Some of you like to move around to keep me guessing, to keep me wondering if you were here. But the reality is, when you realize somebody's been missing, you give them a phone call. That's a form of ministry. In Sunday school classes in particular, that's something that we should be very much on top of. You can have care groups in your Sunday school class where you have a care group leader who has 3 to 5 people assigned to them that they call on a weekly basis or send an email to or send a text to. You know, technology has changed so much. Maybe you Facebook message them. Whatever it is, you make contact with them. You let them know that you're praying for them. And those are things that we can do that minister. Our ladies who take the time to sew those beautiful quilts. And as we pray over those quilts and then share those with people, that's a form of ministry. You realize it could be a form of ministry for you to go and cut somebody's grass? I live it. No, I'm just kidding. Jeff's giving out his address, if you're wondering. So, now, the reality is, there's so many things that we can do to minister to others and realize that God has given us the ability to minister in so many different ways, to show them the love of Christ. Just being present with someone, maybe if they've lost a loved one. So many times we think there are words that we need to be able to express. The reality is, just being present. I've shared it before, but I'll share it again. One of my favorite illustrations and expressions of that was Beethoven. You remember Beethoven, the composer? He was deaf. Amazing. He could write what he wrote. But he heard of a friend who lost a child. And he went to this friend's house. And when he got to the friend's house, he literally walked into his house and he sat down at his piano and began to play. He played for 30 minutes and then he got up and left. But that was an expression of his love and his hurt and his sorrow for his friend, just being present. It's not about what we say. It's about being there and being willing to be there and be a part of the rough times and sometimes, yeah, to be a part of the joyful times, to rejoice with them. The Bible tells us to mourn with those who mourn and to have joy with those who have joy. Every 4 years, thousands of young athletes from all over the world gather for the Special Olympics, much like the regular Olympics. They alternate year so that every 2 years there's a Special Olympics, but the fanfare, the celebrities, the music, the excitement are nearly as grand as the regular Olympics. And these athletes know what it means to give their best, and they've trained for months and for years even and want to win. Several years ago, five finalists gathered at the starting line and their hearts were pounding. Each wanted to win. The starter's gun discharged. The athletes exploded from their crouch positions and began to run with all their heart. The crowd was on their feet shouting and cheering, and suddenly one of the runners stumbled and fell flat on his face. He struggled to get up but couldn't. A moan and then a hush fell over the stadium, and in the next moment, one of the other competitors turned and went and helped him up and walked across the finish line with him. You see, one of the things that that young person understood, that it's about caring for those around you. Sometimes we just need somebody to pick us up when we've fallen and help us move forward and help us go on. That's what it means to minister to one another. We're all in the Christian race of life together, and it's not about where we finish. It's about finishing. Doesn't matter if we're at the front of the pack or the back of the pack, we just need to run the race well for the kingdom of God. And sometimes we need someone just to come alongside us and help us run this race. If we were to go around the room today, I feel certain that there wouldn't be anybody here that's not in need of encouragement somewhere in your life. You need some encouragement somewhere, and we all need people to encourage us. We have such busy lives, and we get caught up in our routine of ourselves, and we lose sight of those around us in need, and so many times we don't pay attention, and we need to ask God to help us pay attention, to help us be there for one another. You know, one of the things that I have found to be very true is I pretty quickly forget about my own struggles when I'm encouraging someone else. It's amazing how much ministering to somebody else ministers to me. As a matter of fact, Evan was talking about that this morning. We were talking about the mission trip, and she said she went to be a blessing to somebody else and found that it was more of a blessing to her than she could have possibly been to somebody else. When we minister to others in the name of Christ, God always ministers to us. We need to be an encouragement to those around us. Our Heavenly Father certainly will encourage us. So we see ministry and love. The second way that we can show love is through evangelism and love. Now, once again, I'm reminded of an old popular song by the group Foreigner that said, "I want to know what love is, and I want you to show me." You know, the reality is those words, even though he had no idea what he was really saying, those words are so true for so many. So many people don't know what love is. But we who are Christians do. And we can show them and tell them about real and genuine love. You know, there is a Savior that wants to save them in spite of the fact that they made him go to the cross to die in their place. There is no greater love than that. There is no greater love than what he's already demonstrated for us. And the very thing that they're looking for, that hole in their heart, the very thing that needs filling in their life, can come from the very one that we can introduce them to. We simply need to tell them how they can have a relationship with the Savior that we already have a relationship with. You see, God sent his only Son to demonstrate his love to a lost and dying world. You and I were dead in our sins and were guaranteed an eternity in hell, but Jesus came to take our place. It has well been said, God did not send his Son to make bad people good people. He sent his Son to make dead people live people. We're dead apart from Christ, but in him we have life, and we can share this life that Christ has put in us. We can share this life with others. The Word of God tells us here in 1 John, the translation that I read said atoning sacrifice. Perhaps your translation said propitiation. It means the same thing. The bottom line is, if you want to put it in simple and plain English, Jesus took our place. He became our sacrifice. He took our place on the cross. The sentence of death that we deserved, he stood in for us. Now, let me be just honest with you here for a moment. Because he was willing to show such love to us, is it really all that great and grand to be able to love him and to love others? I don't think so. I don't think we're doing anything all that amazing. If he could show that kind of love to us, the least we can do is to love him and to love others enough to tell them about him. You and I were going to spend our eternity in hell, but because of what Christ did, we now have the joy of knowing that we'll spend our eternity in heaven. How hard can it really be to love someone who was willing to give their life for me? We're not really exhibiting all that great a love to love him back. Even in the face of persecution and death for our faith, we still haven't given up anything in light of what he gave up for us. He came to reach us with the message of salvation, and though he had not sinned, he took our sin upon himself. He's called us to take this message of salvation to a lost and dying world. The love he's shown for us should compel us to tell others of the love that they can know in him. Now imagine that you were just diagnosed with an incurable disease. And you've been and you've talked to the doctors, and there just seems to be no cure. But that answer is not enough for you, so you begin to dig around and you begin to try to research this on your own, and you spend time on the internet and you do all sorts of things, digging through everything you can possibly come across, and suddenly you come across this article that's a few months old, and you find out that somebody has made some progress and they really felt like they were on the verge of finding a cure for what it is you have. So you do everything you can to find out who this person is and to contact them. And sure enough, when you contact them, you find out that they've had an amazing breakthrough, and now they believe they have something that will absolutely cure what you have. Now let me ask you a question. Would anybody have to convince you to tell other people about what you just found out? No. Nobody would have to. You see, the reality is, apart from God, our sin is not curable. But because of what Jesus Christ did for us, we have a cure. We have a cure. He paid the price for us. We are set free from the bondage of sin. We won't have to spend our eternity in hell because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And I would think that because of that, we should be able to tell others about him. I understand it's a challenge. I'm not trying to make light of it. It can be awkward. It can be a little uncomfortable. But the reality is, he's given us the greatest gift anyone could possibly give us. We need to love him and to love others enough to tell them about what it is he's done for us and for them. We don't have to live in bondage any longer. We have freedom because of what Christ did. God came to make his love known to us, and we can express his love to others because of what he did for us and what he's doing in us. Perhaps we'd more naturally express his love to others if we'd spend more time allowing him to grow us in his love. We need to spend time with him. Each one of us should be willing to let God use us to reach those around us. Now, that doesn't mean that we beat them over the head with it or that we try to force people to place their faith in Christ, because again, he's the one who saves, but it's our job to share. And whether you say, well, I've not had any training, I don't really know how to share my faith, you have a testimony you can share. If God has done something in your life, you need to be able to tell them about what God has done in your life. But I want to give you just four simple verses. You can write it down in your notes on the bulletin. There's space for that. Maybe you want to write it in the front cover of your Bible. Maybe you want to take time later to mark these verses. But I would encourage you to have some way to share your faith with Christ. And this is just one way among many. But this one's pretty simple. Romans 3:23. Just write that reference down. Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Every one of us missed the mark. Every one of us have fallen short of what it means to measure up to the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, Jesus looked at the people in his day and he said, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." And they all looked at one another, "Then who in the world can go to heaven? Because they're the most righteous people we know." The reality is, the only righteousness that enters the kingdom of heaven is the righteousness of God. And that's what John's talking about here when he says he became our atoning sacrifice, our propitiation. His blood is applied to our life. We get into the kingdom of heaven because of what Christ did for us. So Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." Sometimes that three-letter word, "but," is so critical. But the free gift of God is eternal life. God has made the way for us. So we have the wages, we have the fact that all of us have sinned, and then we understand that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Then Romans 5:8 says, "God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We were sinners. We're all sinners. I'm not going to throw this one to write down in your mix of things, but there's another verse in Romans that says this: there is none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners. And the penalty of that sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You say, well, he died a long time ago. You didn't place your faith, you weren't born into this world a Christian. You placed your faith in Christ some point along the way. And even looking across time, he died for you, even knowing that you would break his heart and do things that were against him. Even after you become a Christian, we do things to hurt the very one who died for us. But he paid your price. He paid your price with his life. He paid for our sin. He's demonstrated that love for us. Even before we placed our faith in Christ, he had already accomplished that for us. So Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, and Romans 5:8, and the last one is also in the book of Romans, Romans 10:9. If you confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The bottom line is we have to simply admit that we're a sinner. We ask God's forgiveness. We confess who Jesus is, and we ask him into our life. I want to say to you, salvation is free. Salvation is simple. This is going to sound like an oxymoron, but it's the truth. But it will cost you everything you have. Because when you place your faith in Christ, you have to give him everything or you've given him nothing. I'm sorry, but you can't have fire insurance when it comes to entering the kingdom of heaven. I know what hell is, and I don't want to go there. You either come to Christ and you place your faith in him, or you don't. There's no in between. And there's no chance after you leave this earth either. It's what you've done with him in your life right now. And there are people in each one of our lives, for each one of us that we know, that have not placed their faith in Christ. And we need to do everything that we can to love them by telling them how they can know him. So we see ministry in love, and we see evangelism in love. The third way, I actually had these for you. I forgot I had these on the slide, sorry. There you go, just in case you missed them. Got them, all right, good. Evangelism in love. The next is fellowship in love. The third way that we can love people is fellowship in love. Now in verses 11 through 13, John reminds us that the very nature of God's love should cause us to love one another. No one has seen God, and certainly the lost world hasn't seen God, and they need to see evidence of his love in us. If we truly demonstrate love to one another as believers, we'll demonstrate the love of God to the world around us. It's amazing how many times as Christians we want to fight and feud with one another. I've literally seen churches get upset over paint color. Christians angry with one another over the color of the carpet. I can understand why. Those are big doctrinal issues. Listen, I've said it many times. I'm Baptist born and Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. I started attending the Baptist church 9 months before I was born. I choose to be a Southern Baptist because I agree doctrinally with the positions of the Southern Baptist church. But I got news for my brothers and sisters as Baptists. There are going to be people in heaven who aren't Baptists. Thank goodness. We have brothers and sisters in the faith who have other denominations attached to their churches, attached to their names, if you will, but are still going to be in the kingdom of heaven. And while we might disagree over certain pet doctrines, there's not a whole lot productive about arguing over those doctrines. Now, I will argue with you over whether or not it takes the shed blood of Jesus Christ to be saved. I will debate you over whether or not Jesus was born of a virgin. There are just certain things in the faith that are fundamentally, solidly sound that are worth debating over. Because the bottom line is, if this is the Word of God, it is all the Word of God, and we need to follow what it says, not what we think. So I'm going to stand on this. With that being said, there are certain things that aren't worth us fighting over, aren't worth us fussing and feuding over. And we'd be far more productive as Christians if we cared more about lost people than we did our own pet doctrine. We need to do all we can to show others that we love one another so that they can see the love of God in us and displayed in what we do. Here's one of the things that I've also found to be true. The more that you fall in love with God, the more you're able to love others. So here's a pretty simple principle. If we want to love others more, we need to love God more. And I'm afraid you don't just wake up one day and go, "Oh, I love God more now." It comes from spending time with Him. It comes from digging in His Word. It comes from getting into the Word of God on a daily basis and spending time with Him, digging into His truth. And when we dig into His truth, when we spend time with Him, God begins to pour Himself into us so that we can love others the way that we need to. Love others the way that He wants us to. We need to be in His Word. We need to be with Him in prayer, spending time with Him, growing in Him, that we might better reflect His love to those around us. But if we're not spending time with Him, we're not going to love others the way that we should. Loving God is critical in our walk. And people come to Christ when they see the love of God in us. It's been several years ago now. I read the book High Expectations by Tom Rainer. It was basically a study of multiple churches, and he found out things about those churches that were common, where the churches were growing and they were retaining people when they came into the church. And the bottom line was they were high expectation churches. They had certain expectations. But there was one church that he went to in the book that it wasn't Baptist. It wasn't a Baptist church. And Tom's a Baptist. I don't know what he was doing veering off like that. But it was a church in Orlando, Florida. But one of the things that they had stated was a high priority for them and was critical for them reaching people for Christ and keeping people in the church, they placed an extremely high value on Sunday school as a church. And one of the things that he found out in going and attending that church, one particular Sunday school class that he went to, when he got there, he intentionally arrived 15 minutes early. And you know what he found when he arrived 15 minutes early? An empty class. No, he didn't. About half of the class was already there, and the teacher was already there, and they were ready to reach people, visitors, when they came. That day in the class, there were two lost people in that class because one of the emphases that they had as a Sunday school class was to invite lost people. And you know what they had the nerve to do that day? In that class, they took prayer requests and several people shared names to pray for lost people. Now, Tom admittedly thought, boy, I wonder what these two lost folks, you know, how they feel about that. So he talked with the Sunday school teacher about it, and the Sunday school teacher said, well, why don't you just ask them? And in talking to them, you know what he found? He found out both of them said, you know what, they have done nothing but show us love. So it doesn't bother us at all that they're praying for lost people. Tom went back to that church a year later, and you know what he found? Those two lost people came to know Christ. You see, when people know you love them, they know you care about them, and they're more likely to place their faith in the God you know because they see His love in you. What are we doing to love people? The fellowship that we have with God will be a direct reflection in the fellowship that we have with others. If we're going to honor God as a church, then we've got to have fellowship with one another. We've got to actually enjoy being together because we serve the same God. You don't have to like the same things I like. I don't have to like the same things you like. But because we love the same God, we ought to enjoy being together, worshiping Him. And we ought to be on the same page in reaching people for Christ. And loving them where they are and loving them to God. You know, the problem is too many times in the church, we want people to clean up before they get in church. You know what I'm saying? We want them to start acting right and behaving right before they get in church, and that is so backwards. We got to love them where they are and love them to the Lord and let them be who they are until God changes their heart. Are you willing to love people that way? Are you willing to consistently and regularly pray for those who don't know Christ? You see, we can minister to them, both saved and lost, we can minister to. We certainly need to share our faith with those who don't know Him. And we need to fellowship with one another so that our love spills out on those who don't yet know Him. When they see that we actually enjoy being together and that we actually enjoy praising God, they're going to be drawn to the God that's in us because He can change their life too. The thing that we ought to do for love more than anything is to love God with every ounce of our being and to tell others how they can know Him. You want to grow in your love for God? Spend more time in His Word. I would encourage you to get involved in a Sunday school class where you can study the Word with other believers. Dig into His Word. Grow in His Word. Grow in your love for Him so that others will see that love in you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You so much for Your amazing love for us. God, forgive us when we don't show a love for You that we should. Forgive us when we choose to, Lord, when we choose to be selfish. God, help us to truly want to see others come to know You. Help us to put others' needs ahead of our own and to minister to them where they are. And God, help us to be willing to be awkward, to be uncomfortable, to be in places, Lord, that You need us to be, that You want us to be, that we might tell others how they can know You. God, I pray right now for anyone here that doesn't know You, I pray right now they would ask Your forgiveness, place their faith in You. Lord, during this invitation time, may they come to know You as their Savior and Lord. Lord, for others of us as Christians, I pray that if we realize our love's not been what it should be for You and for others, God, help us right now to want to know You more, that we might love You more and love others more. God, there are folks here who are hurting, who are going through various struggles, and we just ask You to wrap Your arms around them and care for them. Minister their needs today, Lord, and strengthen them. Whatever we need to do during this invitation time, God, to honor and glorify You, we give this time to You. It's in Your precious and wonderful name we pray these things. Amen.